This episode of the Mac Daddy Seminar is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is dedicated to bringing you with tools for your family jewels. Ladies and gentlemen, it is getting a lot colder out there. Winter is upon us, even here in sunny Southern California. Okay? A lot of people don't shave their legs. And what you can't leave unchecked is that fucking Alabama swamp. Listen to me, okay? You need to go over to manscaped.com right now. They have the perfect stuff. They got this thing called the Lawnmower 2.0. Shave that bush down nice and neat. Be the perfect Christmas present for anybody this year. You know what I'm saying? Also, they got things like the plow and ball wipes. Keep everything smelling fragrant down there. Head over to manscaped.com right now and use promo code MACDADDY20 to get 20% off your very first order. Head over to manscaped.com right now.
Go make yourself a drink and I'll be down in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Whatever, we don't give a fuck. The deal is done. Now the cake been baked. They need to come on with the drama, whatever they're going to do.
What's cracking, pimps? What's going on? And welcome to episode 21 of the Mac Daddy Seminar. As always, I'm your host, Taylor Dunn. And yes, we are officially 9 days away from Christmas. It is Monday, December 16th. And I know it's been a while since I've posted a podcast. Look, I feel like I say that every episode, but in all honesty, I gotta have something to tell y'all, okay? If don't shit happen in a week, other than I went and did a couple of comedy spots around town, then I ain't got nothing to talk about. I don't want to just give you the news, because that's what every podcast is doing, you know? So, there you go. That's my explanation. But my ear is still severely fucked up. I have an appointment today. So, you know, fingers crossed that they don't accidentally rupture my eardrum with some scalpel and stick it into my brain and that's how I die. I really hope that that's not how I go. I think that's one of my biggest fears, is that I'm going to die, but it's going to be in a really embarrassing way. And then everybody's going to be like, how did he die? And, oh, well, he went to the ENT and they stuck a scalpel in his ear trying to mess with his fucked up eardrum. And the doctor sneezed and hit his brain. And that was it. They just wheeled his ass right to the morgue. You know, if I'm going to die, I want to die cool, you know. Like, I want to get shot or something, like in the street, like at an intersection, like they did fucking Alonzo in Training Day. That's how I want to go, boy. You know what I'm saying? I feel like my voice sounds different because I hear it different. That's how fucked up my ear is. But whatever, you know, I'm recording this before the appointment, so, you know, hopefully the next episode I'm not on here like, well, welcome to the Mac Daddy Seminar, because I'm fucking deaf. You know? It's been a while, though. You know, it's been a while since my last episode. We've been busy, man. First thing that happened, we took my daughter to Disneyland, which this was our first time. This was really our first big family vacation since moving out here. And we had a blast. We went to Knott's Berry Farm the day before, which was our first time at Knott's Berry Farm, and it was a lot of roller coasters. You know, they had a couple of kids' rides, so my daughter enjoyed it. But, you know, really it was just roller coasters, which I don't know what it is. Like, now that I've gotten a little bit older, like, roller coasters don't have the same appeal to me. Like, I'm just positive I'm going to die. Which I'd be cool with, because dying on a roller coaster would be pretty cool. But, you know, I don't know. I have irrational fears. Like, I get on it and I'm like, fuck. You know, I'm like nervous to ride it. I used to be like, whatever. I wouldn't even put my seatbelt on. Just to up the thrill a little bit. But now, You know, I'll be on it with my eyes shut, like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. And then it goes. And, you know, when it's over, I'm like, well, that was fun. And I get off. But used to not be like that. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just falling apart as a human, physically and mentally. I don't know what happened to me. But Knott's Berry Farm is a lot of fun. We had a real good time. My daughter enjoyed it. And we stayed the night at the Knott's Berry Farm Hotel. And, you know, when I was booking it online, I was trying to make it special because it was for my daughter's birthday. So I was like, well, hey, we'll go up to Knott's Berry Farm the day before. And, you know, we'll ride rides all day and then we'll get something to eat. And then I looked on their website. They had an option where you can stay in what's called a Camp Snoopy room. And what this is, you know, Snoopy is like the mascot of Knott's Berry Farm, because every other mascot, whether it be Looney Tunes or, you know, Mickey Mouse stuff that's taken by Disney, all the other cartoon mascots are taken by some other company. So, you know, Knott's Berry Farm had to do with what they could, and they just have, you know, the Peanuts, whatever, the Charlie Brown motherfuckers, you know, walking around and dressed up and stuff like that. So Snoopy is real big around Knott's Berry Farm. And, you know, we stayed in a Camp Snoopy room. Well, I paid about an extra $100 just to stay in that type of room, because what you get with this is the room is themed for Snoopy. Get two little Snoopy plush dolls, like little teddy bears, but they're Snoopy. And then at 8 o'clock, Snoopy comes to your room dressed in pajamas and tucks your child into bed. Now I was like, well, that's very special. That's very sweet. I'm going to go ahead and book that. So I did. Well, nobody told me that I was going to see Snoopy 40 fucking times throughout the day. And it didn't really make his visit to the room that special, because my daughter had already seen him and given him a hug 400 times earlier throughout the day. We saw him like 3 times in the park. He came up to us while we were eating dinner in the restaurant. And then he comes to the room. My daughter was like, okay, I'm tired of seeing you. I'm just joking. She had a good time. She really enjoyed it. We got it all on video. I don't know if I posted that to my Instagram, but, you know. But, yeah, the next day, we woke up and we went to Disneyland. And this was, I mean, we've been to Disney World. But this was our first time to Disneyland, all of us. This was my daughter's second time in a Disney park. And we loved it. Now, I'm going to give you all a bit of advice, okay? If you are considering taking your family, especially if it's a kid under the age of 5, I would even go with 5, bring a stroller. We've brought a stroller both times we've gone to Disney with my daughter, and it has been a huge help. Not only because, you know, they got little legs, they can't, you know, walk around as much as, you know, we can. But they can take a nap, which is so good, because my daughter's usually beat to death tired by the time, you know, we're ready to wrap up for the day. Not even really wrap up, but as like the afternoon starts, you know, she starts looking, she's got that glazed over look in her eye like she's tired. Then we will, let her simmer down, take a little nap. But it was awesome. Like, it was really cool to ride all the different rides and see how they're different from Disney World to Disneyland. Like, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride was ridiculous, because it just went so deep into the ground. Like, I was like, good God, we're like a mile under, you know, the surface. This is ridiculous. I could definitely see how they have Walt Disney's body like frozen cryogenically under that ride. That's what they say. I was looking around for it too. Of course I didn't see it, or this would be a much different podcast. But that was cool. The Haunted Mansion, my daughter was really afraid to get on, but we you know, we convinced her to get on it, and we're all really happy that we did, because they completely changed the theme of the Haunted Mansion. It was, you know, it was Nightmare Before Christmas themed. So they, like, completely gutted the ride and made it all Nightmare Before Christmas, and she loved it. We rode it twice. She liked it so much. Also, what really helped is when you go to Disney, if you can, go during the week. That's pretty much how everything, especially out here in California, because it's a lot of tourist spots pretty much everywhere. If you go during the week, you're going to cut the crowds down, no matter where you go, in half. Like, I took my wife, and when we were planning it, we talked about it beforehand. And she was like, well, we could just go that weekend. And I was like, no. If we go that weekend, we might as well not even go, because it's going to be so slam-packed full of people, we're not going to get to ride everything. But so we went during the week. We went on a Wednesday. It was actually my daughter's birthday, and it poured down rain for most of the day. Now, a lot of people think, oh, you paid all this money to go to a theme park, and it's been raining. That sucks. Actually, no. We prepared. We all wore parkas and raincoats and stuff like that and put them away when we needed to. And, yeah, it was kind of wet and it was a little bit frustrating. But you know what? The longest we waited on a ride all day long was 20 minutes. And that was without a fast pass or anything like that. And we loved it, man. I rode that new that Star Wars ride, that Smuggler's Run, where you get to drive the Millennium Falcon. That shit was pretty cool. I was able to talk my daughter into getting on that. She did a lot better this year. She was so afraid last year when we went to Disney of stuff. Like, she freaked out on a lot of stuff. But this year, she would just go, like, if she got a little bit nervous, she would just go, I'm scared. But she, you know, she still had a good time. But we all loved it. We all had a really good time, you know. Also, same day, this was pretty cool, a article came out in my hometown newspaper. That was really cool. It was, I meant to bring it up here with me before I started recording, but basically it just announced that I was going to be performing at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles on the 9th, and, you know, I just thought that was really cool that, you know, they put that out in my hometown. And, you know, it just said a lot of really positive things about me. The guy called me and, like, gave me a short little interview over the phone, like, a week and a half before. And I just told him, you know, everything that he asked. But I didn't really, you know, bet on it really happening. I was just like, well, maybe they will write it. Maybe they won't. And then when it came out and I made the front page, I was like, oh, snap. So I got my mother-in-law to send me a copy of it, because I just like having that shit, you know? Like, it's like a little small achievement just for me. That may sound lame to some people, but, you know, maybe one day I'll look back at that and be like, oh, shit, remember when I made front page of the paper for performing at the Comedy Store, you know? Yeah, if you haven't gotten a copy of that, or you would like to, you know, go pick up a copy, and, you know, hey, if you send it to me, I'll sign it for you if you would be interested in something like that. What else? But yeah, the article talked about me going to the Comedy Store, and this was my third time going to the Comedy Store, first time to perform. And I went, and, you know, we got there, and I always love going. Like, it's just so cool to, like, go, and, you know, you always see all these famous comedians every time you're there. Like, this was probably the one time that I didn't see as many, but I still bumped into Bobby Lee, and I got a picture with him. It was really cool, and you just stand there, and, I mean, it's like you know, for me, you know, these are like my superheroes, you know? Like, imagine being a fan of, like, Marvel, and then you go and, you know, fucking Robert Downey Jr.'s walking around in the Iron Man costume. Like, how cool would that be? Or Spider-Man or something like that, you know? But it's just crazy. Like, we went and I signed up for Kill Tony and the potluck in the original room. And Andrew Schultz was on, which I'm a huge fan of Andrew Schultz. I'm not even that big of a fan of his stand-up. I'm just a big fan of his work ethic and how he's, like, really changing the way the business of comedy is done. Like, pretty much it's always been like, well, you know, you're not really famous until you get a special. And that's not really the case anymore. Like, he's gotten to where he can sell out a theater just from stuff that he's put on YouTube. And it's all stand-up. He's not making skits. He's not making music or anything like that. And I'm not knocking anybody that does that, you know? I mean, we're all out here trying to get the same bag. It don't matter how you get it. It's just, you know, I mean, his is just pure stand-up comedy. And he's made it into like a vlog series where it just shows him going around on tour. If you're into that type of stuff, definitely check that out. Just type in Andrew Schultz on YouTube. But yeah, man, it was a great show. I had a really good time. You know, I can't wait to go back, but it'd probably be a little bit before I go back up there, because it's a hike getting to the Comedy Store. In all seriousness, like, from San Diego up there, first of all, you want to go during the week. Just like I said before about Disney, going during the week, traffic isn't as bad. And to be honest with you, that is the best time to go to the Comedy Store, is on like a Monday, Tuesday, maybe a Wednesday night. And the reason for that is all of the big name comedians on the weekend, they're on tour. They just fly out of LA, go to Wyoming for, you know, two nights to do a comedy club or a theater, like Chris D'Elia. You know, he might go to New York or something like that, and then he'll be back on Sunday afternoon, and then he'll be at the Comedy Store during the week. The Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory, the Hollywood Improv, all of those comedy clubs right there in West Hollywood are where all the big name comedians go and work out their material. So, and it's awesome. I love going up there. If you're any type of fan of comedy, I highly suggest you go up there. But that's pretty much it for news with stuff that's happened with me lately. I definitely appreciate everybody showing support. It sounds like I'm ending this podcast. I'm not. I'm just, you know, I'm really thankful that I have people that are, you know, showing support, and, you know, whether it be sharing something that I've done, or, you know, just sending me messages saying, you know, nice, kind things. Like, I read all of those, and I really appreciate it. But on a side note, there's a lot of shit that has made me pretty much, I've almost deleted my Facebook maybe 6-7 times since my last podcast, just because I can't fucking stand all of the dumb shit that I see on there. It is absolutely makes you want to tear your fucking eyes out of your head. Like, that whole banana duct tape to the wall art piece that was somebody paid $120,000 for a goddamn banana duct taped to a wall. And then, what's even stupider than that is somebody walked up, took the banana off the wall, and ate it. And then the artist said, oh, well, this doesn't affect the integrity of the art piece. And then they named it The Comedian. That shit is not funny, man. That's just... I'm just sitting there thinking, like, how do you get art like that appraised for $120,000? Like, I'm sitting here, you know, people are inventing shit and they can't make any money. People just struggle for their entire lives trying to make ends meet. And there's just somebody that's like, takes a roll of duct tape and a fucking banana and smacks it on a wall. And they're like, this is art. It's called The Comedian. That'll be $120,000. And you're just like, what the fuck? And somebody paid for it. It makes me wonder, like, what can I do to make people pay for some? Like, imagine working your entire life and then knowing at the end of it, all you had to do was shit in that dollhouse and somebody would have paid $800,000 for it. You know, like, imagine if you get to the end of your life and they're like, well, would you like to see what you could have done differently to be rich? I mean, of course, I would like to know. Like, hey, what did I do wrong? You know, I want to know, like, what would my path have been had I done this or I had done that? And if they were like, well, you did everything right. However, if you had just smashed your head into the concrete once and left that blood stain and then dabbled some on your finger and you drew a fucking unicorn on the wall, you would have made $2.9 million. However, you didn't, so you continue to struggle and work at Subway for the rest of your life. So, enjoy the afterlife. You know, this shit's irritating, man. I just do not understand people fucking God. And now everybody's freaking out over this whole, you know, at the Army-Navy game, somebody threw up, you know, a white power symbol, I guess, and they're just playing the circle game. First off, the circle game is fucking stupid, okay? I was playing that in, like, second and third grade. And what it means is, if you make a circle with your index finger and your thumb, and you hold it down below your waist, if somebody looks at it, it means that they're gay. Not in a derogatory sense towards people who were homosexual, but I think we can all agree that about 10, 15 years ago, you could call somebody gay and not lose your job for it. You know? And the thing is, the reason this gets traction is because people repost it, and it's just because they think it's ridiculous. And that's why the shit continues to happen. Like, if you're tired of seeing shit like that, just don't pay any mind to it. I'm guilty of it right now because I'm talking about it. But that's the only way you fix it. It's the same way with everything. Like, it's like you won't fix a problem, but it will definitely kind of start to dwindle off. It's like, just leave it alone. It's like a fucking, like having a sore in the inside of your mouth that you can't stop fucking with your tongue. You know, if you would just stop doing that, it'd get better. People are freaking out. These boys are, you know, in the military and they're junior officers and they're throwing up a hate symbol at a football game. This shouldn't be tolerated. They did it because the president was there. Like, come on, man. Like, look, I'm not trying to get political, because you know I don't give a fuck, but God, it's just so dumb. Why would anybody, first off, I mean, I just, the fact that they were doing it on TV was dumb. So at some point it's like, okay, do they deserve what's about to happen to them? Because they're probably going to get kicked out of the military over that, or severely reprimanded. It'll be lucky if they don't get kicked out. But they're going to have to go in front of someone. And it's going to be all official. And they are going to have to explain what that symbol means. And then a bunch of older people are going to stand around and they're going to look at each other and go, do you think they're telling the truth? And they're going to be like, yeah, I mean, no, I don't think so. And then they're going to kick them out and then they're going to work at Subway. And I'm not hating on people that work at Subway. I'm just using a random fast food restaurant. I just feel like the people at Subway always look a little bit more depressed than every other restaurant. But, like, I ain't never been to Chick-fil-A and seen a motherfucker look sad. You know, they're always smiling. They'll be out there in a goddamn tornado just smiling like, hello, welcome to Chick-fil-A. What would you like, a chicken sandwich today? Everybody knows Chick-fil-A has the best customer service. Whatever, man. How the fuck did I even get on this subject? I went from talking about hate symbols at a Army-Navy football game to talking about chicken sandwiches. I feel like that something's wrong with me. My wife tells it to me probably 3-4 times a day, but now I'm starting to see it. Speaking of disrespectful shit that has happened at a football game, who all enjoyed that Iron Bowl? I know I sure fucking did. That game was great, man. And people were so butthurt over it. Like, they're over it now, but, you know. Alabama wasn't as good as everybody thought they were, you know. I'm not hating. It's just what it was, like. You lost two games. You lost to LSU and you lost to Auburn. LSU is probably going to win the national championship. My biggest thing, and this is where I can agree with Alabama fans, there are a lot of Auburn fans that as long as they beat Alabama at the end of the season, they consider it like a good season. And I don't feel that way at all. I want Auburn to win every game and then play for the national championship and win that. But that's what makes it fun, you know? Like, they make me upset sometimes and then, you know, turn around and, you know, I'm happy. Like, it doesn't mean anything that we won the Iron Bowl. Literally, all it did was kick Alabama out of the college football playoff. But that's enough of that. Also, Joe Burrow won the Heisman, which, goddamn, I don't know why they even flew him up there to New York to make it like a contest. Yeah, okay, I wanted Jalen Hurts to win at least once, but, I mean, God, the competition just, there wasn't any. Joe Burrow was a fucking monster. All season. He was so goddamn entertaining to watch. I felt like I was watching Johnny Football all over again, except this kid knew how to act. That was where Johnny Manziel faltered. He was just a dumb kid who could play football, and then he got to the league where you're expected to act like an adult, and he was like, but I want to party. Come on, man. But oh well, you know. We all sat around last night. We're all really getting into the Christmas spirit here at the Dunn household. And we sat and watched the good old family favorite, Home Alone, with Macaulay Culkin. Now, it's been a long time since I've watched this movie. Probably the last time I watched it, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. But, you know, my daughter is 4 now, so she can get a better grasp on movies and, you know, actual movies that have people in them, not just cartoons. You know, we try to push that on her. So we watched Home Alone, and we figured she thought it would be funny, and she loved it. She watched the entire film. But I'm sitting there watching it, and all I saw that really stuck out to me is that Kevin McAllister, the main protagonist in Home Alone, the kid, Macaulay Culkin, his family are a bunch of fucking degenerates. They really are a group of terrible people. His mom, his dad, his brother, his sister, his uncle, the whole goddamn family is a bunch of pieces of shit. The only one that has any goddamn sense about him is Kevin. This kid lived on his own for like a week at 9 years old. And not only did he live, he completely beat the shit out of two burglars with booby traps set up all around his house. I feel like Home Alone 3 should have been Kevin killing his entire family. He should have just set up all those booby traps and when they came home and been like, "Hey, Mom," and that big-ass fucking paint can fell and smacked her right in the face. But like, that's for leaving me alone to go on vacation. Like, how do you forget your goddamn child and go to France? And not only did they do it once, they did it twice. Twice! And then the whole movie, she's trying to get back. She's like, "Do you think I'm a bad mother because I left my child at home and went on a vacation to France?" It's like, yes, bitch. If somebody did that shit now and it got on Facebook, they would fucking burn that woman at the stake. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ. We're going to do a question before we wrap up this episode. This question, I looked through some of the other ones, and some of them I couldn't answer due to personal reasons. But, you know, I gave you an explanation as to why. So, I mean, whenever you ask, like if I say, "Hey, ask a question, I'll feature it on the Mac Daddy Seminar," think about like, okay, this is something he might actually talk about, because if it's not something that I want people to hear, I'm not going to fucking say it, okay? So, this question comes in from Caitlin Bass. She's a real good friend of mine from high school, and her question, she really had a two-part question. It was, how would you describe your experience in high school, and how did you and your wife meet? Okay, so my experience in high school, which I thought it was kind of funny that she asked because we were in school together, but for me, you know, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, and I felt like that kind of made it harder for me to connect with kids and make friends, because normally, you know, where the real bonding happens for children, I feel like, is like through playing sports or, you know, going to birthday parties. And being a Jehovah's Witness, I couldn't really do any of those things. So I feel like I really had a hard time connecting with people and making friends, and that's all I really wanted to do. And then, you know, when that the foundation wasn't there in the, you know, first, second, third grade, it kind of continues to follow you. Like, if you've been labeled like a weird kid, it tends to follow you for a while. Well, I'd say around like ninth, right in the summertime of ninth grade, is when I kind of felt a change, and I really started trying just to be myself instead of like, oh, I need to play a sport, or I need to do this. Like, when I just started just doing me and doing what I liked to do, that's when I feel like people started to accept me. And, yeah, really, it just started building from that, from ninth grade all the way up till, you know, graduation, which I had a bunch of friends when I graduated, and, I mean, I loved it. I loved going to school my senior year. Like, people would skip school, and I'm like, why the fuck? Like, because I knew, like, this is some of the most fun we're ever going to have. So, I'm not skipping shit. I wouldn't stay home from school my senior year if I was sick. I didn't want to miss anything. I had a blast. But so yeah, I really enjoyed high school. I had a great time. So I hope that answers your question, Caitlin. And as far as your second part of your question, how did you and your wife meet? I met her in high school as well. I was in the 11th grade, she was in the 10th, and we took driver's ed. And I'd seen her around before, and I thought she was a stone-cold fox. And I had tried talking to her on, like, MySpace and Facebook and stuff before, but she was with somebody. I don't remember. But when we had that class together, that was all she wrote, you know? And, yeah, we've had ups and downs. Like, we've broken up, you know, before and started dating again and, you know, dated other people. And, you know, as you get older, you realize, like, that shit is so fucking dumb to worry about that type of stuff, because I mean now we're great and that really helped our relationship. So a lot of people are like, oh, you don't need to marry your high school sweetheart. Well, I wouldn't give anybody that advice. It's a lot of work, because you grow as a person. You really do. You change. I don't feel anything like the person that I was in high school, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, she's not anything like she was in high school. We've spent enough time around each other, I feel like we both rubbed off on one another. But hopefully that answers your question, Caitlin. I say that pretty much wraps this episode up. I really appreciate the question. And I appreciate you guys listening, you know? Yeah, as far as episodes coming in, like I said, I mean, I've just been busy. Like, stand-up has really been paramount over everything, you know? So if you're looking forward to these podcasts and you want me to do more of them, reach out, you know? Unless I get some type of engagement on these, I'm just going to do them when I feel like doing them, you know? But once again, I really appreciate that question, Caitlin. I appreciate you guys for listening. Follow me on Instagram at Taylor Dunn, all lowercase, and then it's underscore, 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 like a line. That's for Instagram, Twitter. Look me up on YouTube at Taylor Dunn Comedy. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So once again, I appreciate you guys listening, and I will see y'all next week.
This episode of the Mac Daddy Seminar is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is dedicated to bringing you with tools for your family jewels. Ladies and gentlemen, it is getting a lot colder out there. Winter is upon us, even here in sunny Southern California. Okay? A lot of people don't shave their legs. And what you can't leave unchecked is that fucking Alabama swamp. Listen to me, okay? You need to go over to manscaped.com right now. They have the perfect stuff. They got this thing called the Lawnmower 2.0. Shave that bush down nice and neat. Be the perfect Christmas present for anybody this year. You know what I'm saying? Also, they got things like the plow and ball wipes. Keep everything smelling fragrant down there. Head over to manscaped.com right now and use promo code MACDADDY20 to get 20% off your very first order. Head over to manscaped.com right now.